right now on VFN TV. You know, it's 500 years since the Reformation took place. Well, we're going to be talking today about Wolfgang Simpson's 15 theses talking about a reformation of the church. What is God's original intent for the church? And also a prophetic word from Chuck Pierce talking about the apostolic hubs that are arising throughout the nation right now on VFN TV.
Trump has expressed to the committee, the faith-based committee that he has expanded on, that by the time he leaves office, he wants to be remembered as the most praying president in history.
We invite all Americans to join us as we continue to pray for those who have lost family members and friends, and for those who are suffering from this great crisis. We're going to be signing a day of prayer.
Mr. President, I think it goes without saying that at a moment like this, we all come together as Americans. We all bow to Almighty God. We ask for His grace and His mercy over those who are affected. And most of all, Mr. President, we thank you for acknowledging that ultimately it is God who is the source of our unity as Americans. And I thank you for issuing this proclamation.
Thank you.
It's been called the most evangelical cabinet in history. Men and women who don't mince words when it comes to where they stand on God and the Bible.
Has this been done before in a cabinet formally?
I don't think there's been a cabinet Bible study in America in at least 100 years.
The seat of evil is going to come down and the seat of the righteous is going to rise. I mean, God wants to bring down the evildoer, but we have to begin to cry out and turn our hearts to Him.
You know, the last day's language of the Holy Spirit is dreams. He said, well, it was just a dream. Maybe just a dream. Who knows what angels had to fight through to break into your world? To give you their thoughts and you just say it's just a dream. I think the church needs to stop saying it's just a dream.
If the righteous many do not confront the wicked few, then evil will triumph.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, your host, and joining me in just a moment is John Ramos. Well, think about it. Can you imagine if all of a sudden you were serving God and you were living for God and you were doing the best you could, but all of a sudden somebody told you that God was walking down the street and you had to ask yourself, is God outside this building or is He inside this building? Well, you think about it. That's what it was like when God came as a man, Jesus, the Son of God, walked on the face of the earth. They had to ask themselves, is it better walking outside with Jesus? Because what I thought I was doing here is walking with God here. Is that God? And so we got to find out where the Lord is. What's He doing? And in the Reformation that took place with Martin Luther 500 years ago this month, think about it. They had to ask the question, is what we're doing is what God wants us to do? What was God's original intent? And just recently, at Church of His Presence, pastored by John Kilpatrick, there was a minister ministering there, and he began to prophesy. And he began to prophesy that the church has left the building. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
The church needs to leave the building! Yes! Yes! Oh, we got to leave the building! We got to leave the building! When they come in here, where is everybody? Ladies and gentlemen, the church has left the building.
That's not a big deal when you understand that you are the church, that God's called you to be the church, not necessarily the come-y church, but the go-y church. And gatherings like that, which is an awesome gathering in Alabama, if you get a chance to go to Church of His Presence. But it's about being empowered and sent out from what you hear to go out and be the church. And this is amazing days, isn't it, John?
Oh, yes. Very exciting to see what God is doing in this hour, because the church has definitely left the building.
Right, right. And the thing about it is, but we still have to be the church. And we have to begin to understand, what does God ask of us? Mm-hmm. For quite often, we didn't hear that. We didn't hear, you know, how can you go to what you are? All you can do is truly be, right?
That's right.
And it's like, how do we be the church? How do we do church, right? And so I remember Wolfgang Simpson wrote a book, and in the book it's called Houses That Changed the World. And in there he had a 15 thesis. And it's interesting that we're 500 years after the Reformation, and he had a thesis.
That's
like,
right.
Was it 95, 96 thesis?
A lot of them.
What he had was, but what Martin Luther had, was a list of things that he found out reading scripture that we needed to do as the church. And he wanted to be able just to start a conversation. Instead, they wanted to start a fire and they wanted to burn him, right? Mm. But here we are today, and that was a big deal. That's where we understood grace and intimacy with God, who came through the Martin Luther Reformation that took place. So here we are today in another Reformation, really, where God is saying, I got my word back, but now I want my church back. That's about intimacy with him. And I think about, so he wrote in this book, you know, Houses That Changed the World, he wrote a thesis, 15 different theses. And we want to share these with you, and then we want to talk about from our perspective, you know, things that we've learned and that we've seen. But take a look at this. John, could you read that first part? This is Wolfgang Simpson right here, and he's speaking about, out in his book, Houses That Changed the World, and he's beginning to think about, hey, there needs to be another Reformation take place. Let's go there now.
God is changing the church, and that in turn will change the world. Millions of Christians around the world are aware of an imminent reformation of global proportions. They say, in effect, church as we know it is preventing church as God wants it.
Let's look at that again. Let's think about church. Church as we know it is preventing
church as God wants it. Wants it.
Say that again, man. How's that?
Church as we know it is preventing church as God wants it.
Okay.
A growing number of them are surprisingly hearing God say the very same things. There is a new awareness of age-old revelations, a corporate spiritual echo. In the following 15 theses, I will summarize, and this is Wolfgang Simpson. I will summarize a part of this, and I am convinced that it reflects a part of what the Spirit of God is saying to the church today. For some, it might be the proverbial fist-sized cloud on Elijah's sky. Others are already feeling the pouring of rain.
That's so powerful because, you know, if you're satisfied where you're at and you're contented to not follow Jesus, you know, maybe outside the building for that day or to do what God says in your life and to be an imitator of Jesus Christ and Paul and those that have gone before us, mm-hmm. if you're satisfied, maybe that's more like a cloud by the size of a fist. But for somebody that knows that the Lord has called them,
that's right,
and they're frustrated because maybe you try to explain to people where you're at, what God's saying to you that lines up with the Word of God, and it seems to be going over their head or just not even getting it.
It's not landing.
And it doesn't mean where you are is wrong, but it may mean where you are is you need to bless that and commit that to God and begin to follow the Lord. A lot of people did that.
Yeah.
When Jesus was walking down the street, there's people that left their buildings, John, and they went to the streets. And they would have come, he would have come in the building, but they wouldn't let God in the building, right? When Jesus wanted to come in and minister. So, I mean, this is a real paradigm shift when you think about it. And so let's just start looking at these theses. We'll share each of them. And this is his perspective, not ours.
Right.
But then we'll talk about, you know, our perspective of that.
Church is a way of life.
So this is the first one.
Church
is a way of life.
Church is a way of life, not a series of religious meetings. Before they were called Christians, the followers of Christ have been called the way. One of the reasons was that they have literally found the way to live. The nature of church is not reflected in a constant series of religious meetings led by professional clergy in holy rooms, specially reserved to experience Jesus, but in the prophetic way of followers of Christ live their everyday life in spirituality, extended families as a vivid answer to the questions society faces at the place where it counts most, in their homes.
That's so important to understand because you know, understanding that we are the church and that we are supposed to operate as a church, when you think about discipleship now,
yeah,
it's really about learning how to be a good family member.
Yeah. It's the way of life. It's not a bunch of these religious meetings.
And that's truly what discipleship is. It's like a new Christian lifestyle.
Correct.
You're living totally different. Well, if in fact that you don't operate as family in the church, then discipleship makes no sense to you.
Right.
You know, you're going to buzz in for 15 minutes on Sunday or Easter or Christmas, whenever it is, and you're going to do your religious duty, pay your penance, and then you'll take off and then live with the family in the world and what's going on.
That's right.
But when you're moving into when you become a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Son of God.
Yeah.
And we're joining the family of God. And so we got to learn how to be a family member. You have to learn that.
And I think it's important to realize that exactly what is being said here is that this is a lifestyle. This is not a come to, not get this experience in one location.
Right.
It's a new way of life of following the Lord. It's called, they were called the way.
The way.
The way.
Yeah, the people, because if you look at them and you could tell they were going a new way, different way than they went.
That's right.
And so in that context of that, you know, where so many people, because we talked to people for quite a few years, and you mentioned discipleship, when they look at the church as an organization and not a family and not organism,
yeah,
then it makes no sense. Why do I need to know? But when you have a child that's born in your family, that child doesn't know where the bathroom is. It actually uses the bathroom in its pants.
Yeah.
That child doesn't know where food is. You got to bring the child the food. But the child grows up and you disciple the child on how to function in the family, right?
I think it's one of Jesus' last words, go and make disciples, right? That's what he told us to do.
Which is family members. Yeah. You know, he sat around and he said, who is my family? He said, and he looked at the disciples that he was talking to when his biological parents were outside of the house that he was ministering in. And they told him, your mother's outside, your family's outside. And Jesus said, who is my family? Those who do the will of my Father.
That's right.
Are the family. And so when he's talking about discipleship and family, understand the church is a family. That's the family of God. We'll be with him forever in eternity. And it's now, and he calls us brothers and sisters and spiritual fathers and mothers, and that we need to be able to function in that role. And you could learn, that's truly what discipleship's about. It's not about learning, ticking off some boxes.
Right.
It's about how do I learn to love my brother? How do I learn to function? What gifts has God given me? How do I flow in that together?
It's my new identity in Christ.
Yeah, totally new identity. And that's what you want. You want to know who you are in Christ. So that first is, of course, very specifically, and I love the statement that he said before that we began this. It says, church as you know it is preventing the church as God wants it.
I think we need to pay attention.
I want to do what God wants.
Period.
Yeah. So it's important to remember that in this first number one of 15 thesis that we're talking about, that you are the church. So you have to learn how to be the body of Christ. You have to learn how to be the church, which means if you learn how to be it, you don't need a building.
That's right.
You can be in a shopping center building. You can be in a stucco building. You can be in a crystal cathedral building. You could be in a house building. You can be in the building does not define the building of God, because we are the building of God.
So there's a possibility that we can stop focusing on going to the church.
Well, that's people's biggest fear.
And not being the church, right?
But the thing about it is you can't tell somebody to go somewhere you haven't yet told them how to do it.
Yeah.
And so we'll talk more about that in this program. First, we're going to go to this break, and we're going to pick back up with the second thesis. Don't worry about it. We're going to take our time so we can break these down. And even if we have to go to another program tomorrow, we will do that so we can cover these things, because this is a now word at the time of Reformation. But first, this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFN TV and the David Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now, with all these pertinent topics of the day, plus things that you need to know, is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us, and in addition, in SoundCloud as well, you can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFNTV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And this is something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFNTV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching. Welcome back. We are going over Wolfgang Simpson's thesis that he wrote in his book, Houses That Changed the World, 15 theses. And think about it, it is a anniversary of the Reformation of Martin Luther, 500 years.
Year Reformation.
And this is one, you know, we have to be open, like, is God wanting to for us to shift in this day? You think about it. Let's go to the second. We went to the first one already. Let's cover the second out of 15.
Out of 15. Okay. Time to change the system. In aligning itself to the religious patterns of the day, the historic Orthodox Church, after Constantine in the 4th century AD, adopted a religious system which was, in essence, Old Testament, complete with priests, an altar, a Christian temple, cathedral, frankincense, and a Jewish synagogue-style worship pattern.
Well, the important thing about that part at this point is to realize that there's a new covenant.
Yeah.
There's a new covenant. The old covenant was done away with. We need to know about it, but we weren't supposed to carry the practice. Peter tried to carry the practices over and got rebuked by Paul when he said, "What are you trying to do?" You know, he was with the Jews and he was trying to act Jewish in the old covenant, and then yet when he was around non-Jewish believers, Gentiles, he would act, you know, as a new covenant. And Paul said, "You got to make up your mind which side of the covenant you're going to be on." And so that's what's important for us to understand. That
Constantine thought he was doing the good thing, but it wasn't.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. And so here we are. We're doing some of the same things that's been around for thousands and thousands of years. Okay.
Absolutely. The Roman Catholic Church went on to canonize the system, and Luther did reform the content of the gospel, but left the outer forms of church remarkably untouched. Now, the free churches freed this system from the state.
Which is important because remember the state was over the church. That's
right.
When the revolution, American Revolution, happened, because the state was over the church.
Intertwined, correct.
Correct, yeah.
So the free churches freed the system from the state. The Baptists then baptized it. The Quakers dry cleaned it. The Salvation Army put it in a uniform. The Pentecostals anointed it, and the Charismatics renewed it. But until today, nobody has really changed the superstructure. And it's time, about time, for that to change.
And each of these, is you're reading off each of these aspects that happened. These are new revelations that it can't come over time.
Right.
And so often we like to camp right there where a new revelation comes and goes, this is supposed to be it. And it's like, no, that was the next it.
Right.
You know, and God's ever unveiling, and there's things that Daniel wrote about that wouldn't be unveiled until the last day. So we can't stay in one place when all of a sudden God begins to reveal what's taking place in the Revelation.
When the cloud moves, move with the cloud.
Move with the cloud. Don't camp. And so specifically saying right here is the structure hasn't been changed. I mean, you think about it. When Martin Luther literally, just went after God without even having any scriptures at first.
Wow.
It wasn't until after he was a monk and did his, quote, monkery, as they put it in the study, that he began to say, I need the Bible to read the Bible. So how many people today they're not reading their Bible, so they don't know, all they know is what they see because they're not reading the Bible themselves and what the Bible says. So when Martin Luther began to read the Bible, he realized, he took his thesis and put it on the front door. And the reason why you do that, that's how you put up bulletins and notices. It wasn't mean and hateful. It was like, I want to talk about this.
Right.
And he wanted to start a conversation, and the people who ran the organization wanted to start a fire and put him under it. And so that shift took place. And thank God, we're saved by grace, by the way, through faith that came through that revelation. So we got to be open. You know, what has God revealed to us? He wants his church back. And so the structure, if you look at it, it's the very same thing that Constantine set up. I mean, you still have the building, we still have the altar, we still have the big chair that somebody sits in, and these different things, you know, and look, but people
Which is an Old Testament.
Yeah, it's a priestly Old Testament. As a matter of fact, I just got back from the Bible Museum, and they have one of those set up there. It's not as big as the Americans situation, but the temple is there. And what God is, he's empowered us to be the church. And so it works only if you understand that you're a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
How many people, John, are criticizing what they are? They're criticizing the church, not realizing that they are the church.
That's right.
They're looking for somebody to function in a role that God's given.
They themselves are supposed to be functioning in.
Yes. So that makes sense. So we're covering 15 theses. So I want to encourage you that to begin to be open to the idea, because you know most of the church in the world doesn't go to things that Americans go to.
No.
And the average size church, according to statistics, I think is around 90-95, but it's actually the larger ones that have television, so you can see them more often. But the majority of churches are around 90-95, and the average.
And that's in the United States.
Right. And so he'll talk more about this, but understanding that we cannot define what God says about his church based off our culture, based off America, based off, we call them corporations in America. We have to go back to the Word of God and say, what is God saying? And no matter where you go, because you are the church and God dwells inside of you, that things happen because you're there.
That's right.
Everywhere I go, God shows up. It's like, it could be because God's Spirit's dwelling.
Christ in you, the hope of glory, right?
And if two or more you gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them.
Right.
And so, but yet 95% of us, according to statistics, will live our entire life and not tell one person about Jesus. And the Word of God says this. Jesus said this, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. Now, I really believe the majority issue is the fact that people didn't know they were supposed to go.
Yeah.
You know, they just send the holy man, holy building, holy moment for the holy word, for the holy day, for the holy hour.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not supposed to go. I'm not supposed to go out. They're actually supposed to come into this structure.
You remember when we were in Jersey and someone was like, that's the man of the cloth.
Yeah.
That's the man of the cloth. That's what they called me in Jersey. And the thing is, we're all called to be part of the church, the body of Christ.
That's right.
So what's the third of the 15 theses from Wolfgang Simpson on reformation of the church that he sees?
The third reformation is number 3. In rediscovering the gospel of salvation by faith and grace alone, Luther started to reform the church through a reformation of theology. In the 18th century, through movements like the Moravians, there was a recovery of new intimacy with God, which led to a reformation of spirituality, the second reformation. Now, God is touching the wineskins themselves, initiating a third reformation, a reformation of structure.
So he is specifically talking about not who you are as a believer, not Jesus as we know him to be, grace as we know it to be, forgiveness as we know it to be, but it's like the thing that we're doing it in.
Right.
I mean, we're spending over, and it's higher than this, you can correct me on the number, $1.3 million, I think it's up $1.5 million now, per baptized believer. Do you know what you can kind of build and you can build for $1.5? You could actually spent $1.5 million, build that huge building, have that one person walk in, duck them into the water, baptize them, leave them to the Lord, baptize them, and then tear the whole thing down again.
Yeah.
Like the Georgia Dome just went down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's ridiculous. What are we doing? And if one person would just get saved, it's all worth it. That's true. But the fact is, if we took $3 million and did it over 90 days, why people and all over the world are starving and they need substance and we need people to go. We need missionaries to be funded.
And it's not something we even export. It's not something that we send with missionaries, right?
Right, we don't, yes.
We say, you can do it. All you need is God out there in the bush, right? You don't need this stuff, but we need it here.
What made the check payable to? Yeah. So it's reformation of the structure he's talking about.
Right.
And as we saw, you know, in the beginning of the program, that you know, this minister of the Church of His Presence began to scream, the church has left the building, the church has left the building. Well, God loves his church, and we do too. And we have to say, well, what do we need to do to make sure that we're following God so we can protect the church and be a part of it? And he tells us more about that. What's the fourth particular thesis he talked about?
Number four, from church houses to house churches.
We would say church
in a house. Since New Testament times, there is no such thing as a house of God, quote unquote.
Welcome to the house of God.
This is where he lives.
Welcome to the house of God.
This is God's house. At the cost of his life, Paul reminded unequivocally that God does not live in temples made by human hands.
Whoa. We just spent $3 million on this building. What are you talking about? God is here.
God is here. Yeah, he lives here. So, again, Paul reminded us unequivocally that God does not live in temples made by human hands.
So it means if men are building it, it doesn't mean God's in it.
Correct.
As a matter of fact, he doesn't even live in it. He lives in us as believers.
Because you're the temple
of God.
Right. The church is the people of God. The church, therefore, was and is at home where people are at home in ordinary houses. There, the people of God share their lives in the power of the Holy Spirit, having quote-unquote meetings.
That is M-E-A-T-I-N-G, like
meetings. That is, they eat when they meet. They often do not even hesitate to sell private property and share material and spiritual blessings, teach each other in real-life situations how to obey God's word, dialogue, and not professor style. Pray and prophesy with each other, baptize, they're willing to lose their face and their ego by confessing their sins, regaining a new corporate identity by experiencing love and acceptance and forgiveness.
This is so powerful because, you know, when you hear people talk about, well, I go to a mega church, and somebody else says, I go to a community church, and someone else says, I go to a church that meets in a house, or I go to a church that meets in a storefront. And somebody in Zimbabwe says, I go to the church under the oak tree,
right?
You know, or I go to this church. And the thing about it is, how can you go to what you are? All you can do is truly be. Mm. This is so empowering because once we empower the individual to know who they are in Christ and that they're part of a body, then it doesn't matter where we're at. It doesn't matter where we're even at in regards to, we could just be the church. Mm. And I think about, this is so important because I think about, you know, when you read about the when they came together and had the Lord's Supper, and Paul was rebuking the church who were doing it improperly, and he said, you know, wait till everybody gets there because there's some people that hasn't even eaten yet, you know, and you don't need, you're eating everything up before they even get there. Well, that's not a communion wafer, obviously. That's a meal going on. It's a supper, the Lord's Supper, right? And then you're actually eating. There's something so spiritual about eating together that Paul warns us that don't eat with people who profess to be believers, but you know in their life they're living not a worldly life. That's how important it is because it does something. And it's not, and it can be communion with a wafer or whatever. The whole thing is that it's community, it's family. You're coming together. Who's setting the table? Who's all week long you're fixing some food to be able to bring there that he says, whatever you did to the least of these of mine, you did to me. So you're actually preparing a meal all week long, thinking about what you're going to prepare to bring to put it before Jesus.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It could be like some green beans or a roast or a fried chicken or, you know. And years ago, I'm at the church, not too long ago, that they did that. You come together and have dinner on the ground. Average church was pretty, you know, small. And they were able to know everybody.
Intimacy.
Yes.
Intimacy. I think it's interesting what Wolfgang says here in this number four, where he says that the church is the people of God. The church, therefore, was and is at home where people are at home in ordinary houses. So this is The church is where you do life. It's right. It's in the home. It's right. It's everywhere. It's yeah. not in a physical
structure.
It's a
way of life. And how much people today are, they go into their houses and they don't even come out.
Yeah.
You know, they push a button to go and the garage door comes up and they go in their garage, they shut down. You don't see them again until they go out to work or go to church on Sunday between blank and blank, whatever time.
And it's okay to live one way in a house, but when you walk into the church building, then all of a sudden...
Well, that's what's being taught. It's being, not taught, but just... It's practiced. And that it's so important for us to understand that and know that, wow. So then when I read the Word of God, if I am the building of God and I am the church, then I'm no longer going to criticize the building up the street when God says there should be no idols in the temple. He's talking about idols inside of me.
That's right.
I mean, we become highly accountable. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But I want to encourage you before we go to break here, is that we're learning this one thing about these theses, even though these are Wolfgang Simpson's theses, it's really timely word for what's going on. And you can find out more details about what we do at vinefellowshipnetwork.org, because one thing we wanted to know is, what does this look like? You know, for so long we went to and was part of and was founded a traditional type church expression where, you know, you basically go there and everybody shows up at the same time and you talk, everybody's looking one way, one person talks. You have a couple of people doing some music, and then they listen to somebody that pretty much they're not going to do what the particular, not put into practice or not be taught. You go out to practice that. If 95% do not tell one person about Jesus, then what we're doing is not working. But we found out, what does it look like? Because we have so many of men's traditions in us that, and God, Jesus says that nullifies God's word. It makes God's word of none effect, men's traditions. And so then we have to think, I want all men's traditions out of me so I can have the fullness of God. So when we begin to do this, we found out, my goodness, God is more into his church and his kingdom than we are. Mm-hmm. Signs, wonders, miracles, dreams, visions, just awesome things have taken place. A person who was scheduled to be buried hours later, when I prayed life over this particular man, God put life in him instead of death. We didn't have to bury him. And he was sitting up laughing in his bed, talking about going fishing. It's just the book of Acts comes alive when we're the church. So this is exciting. This is why it's so important. We're going to go to break. We're going to come back in just a moment. And we're going to continue with these 15 theses that are written by Wolfgang Simpson in his book called Houses That Changed the World. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
One of the great tragedies of human experience is that the natural curiosity of children often disappears over time. Somehow we allow the excitement about learning to dissipate and let our children sink into the mire of boredom.
Here's Dr. James Dobson for Family Talk.
So many parents ask me how they can keep that curiosity alive in their children. How do we motivate them to want to learn and study and grow and explore? According to educator Cherry Fuller, one good way is to identify the areas they are naturally interested in and capitalize on them. If your son neglects his studies to pursue his baseball card collection, use his interest in baseball to explore math. How do you figure hitting averages? Which pitcher has the lowest earned run average? You need to know math to find out. One friend found a local graphic artist to tutor his teenage daughter one evening a week. She had an interest in art, and this taught her how her hobby could be turned into a career. It helped her see beyond high school and began to acquaint her with one of her greatest strengths. Another friend's daughter expressed an interest in healthcare. Now, at 13 years old, she's volunteering at a hospital. It's done wonders for her self-esteem and for her interest in science classes. Find out what your child is good at, and then give them the tools and encouragement to run with it.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
There is more martyrdom going on amongst Christians than ever before in history. From the AD 35 to AD 2000, there were 70 million Christians killed for their faith, of which 45 million of them were killed in the 20th century. 45 million. Do you know the present rate is exceeding what they said. They predicted something like 100,000 Christians a year will be killed by this time. And the average now is 130,000 to 160,000 a year. They're being martyred at the rate of over 200 every day, which means approximately 5 a minute somewhere in this world, a Christian is being killed for his or her faith.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome back. We are going over a 15 thesis written by Wolfgang Simpson about, you know, a reformation of the church. It's like 500-year anniversary since the Martin Luther Reformation. And he says in this book, he says, you know, church as you know it is preventing...
Church as God wants it.
Yeah, so church as you know it is preventing church as God wants it. And it's like, well, we want to do what God wants to do, right?
That's right.
And that's a reformation when you're thinking about it. And so there's 15 theses. This is the fifth of the 15 theses.
Correct.
Don't worry, we're going to take our time and talk about them just so that you'll have them anytime you need them to be able to share them with your friends.
So number 5 out of 15 of Wolfgang Simpson's thesis, 15 theses.
Right. And what he's saying is church as we're doing is preventing as church as God wants it to be.
Which we need to pay attention to. Yes. This is the case,
without
right?
Without a doubt. So what is he saying?
So he's saying, number 5, that the church has to become small in order to grow big.
So small is the new big.
Yes. Okay. Most churches of today are simply too big to provide real fellowship. They have often become fellowships without fellowship.
Wow.
The New Testament church was a mass of small groups, typically between 10 to 15 people. It grew not upward into big congregations between 20 and 300 people, filling a cathedral and making real mutual communication improbable. Instead, it multiplied sidewards like in organic cells. Once these groups reached around 15 to 20 people.
So you're looking at, instead of growing up, like a big crystal cathedral, for example.
It grows wide.
It grows wide and multiplies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Almost like a vine, right?
Yes.
Then, if possible, it drew all the Christians together into a citywide celebrations, as with Solomon's Temple Court in Jerusalem. The traditional congregational church, as we know it is, statistically speaking, neither big nor beautiful, but rather a sad compromise of an overgrown house church and an undergrown celebration, often missing the dynamics of both.
It's so important, you know, that today, John, so many, the family's falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, marriage is falling apart. They're redefining marriage, they're redefining family. People bring up family and they think of pain instead of good, and the whole thing, that's the enemy trying to fight against the reality of what God's created family. He's mm-hmm. created your natural family, and he's created spiritual family, the church. God wanted a family, so he sowed a son. He gave his son that whoever believes in him, you know, we have eternal life. And we're brought into the family of God. And it's so important to understand is that then we have to learn how to be a family member.
That's right.
We have to learn to be a family member. And he's talking about that, you know, right here when he's talking about it grows out wide instead of growing up. I think about Charles Simpson's book with ants, vines, and the church.
And flower pots.
That, you know, the Jesus identifies himself in parable as a vine.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the branches on that vine. And the vine just kind of grows where it wants to. It doesn't grow up unless there's something like a mountain or something for it to grow on. And if what we're doing was working, then we wouldn't need a reformation that's going on. And I think it's so important for us to understand here when he's talking about...
Alongside of that, any plant that's put inside of a pot can only grow to the extent that container will hold it in.
And there's a rule. There's a rule that says that the people will only grow to 80% of the size of the container it's in.
Heard that.
It may max out to the 100, but it'll come back to the 80% again. Why put it in a container at all? Why not let the vine just grow all over the place? You think about, so small is the new big. Well, how can that be? Well, first of all, just think about this natural sense. The fact that you're not worried about the people up the street who have a house and got a job. You know why? Because they're a family.
Mm-hmm.
God's designed it. Somehow they're married. Somehow they're functioning. Somehow they're getting education. And you don't have anything. You have no control over that. But yet God has enabled that to happen. So we have a United States of America, e pluribus unum, though we're many, we're one. But we're a whole bunch of unique individual families. As a matter of fact, if your family just knocked on the door of their house and started knocking on their door and say, hey, I want to come over, they're going to be like, who are you?
Yeah.
So then you got to get the family start coming together. That's more of a corporate type celebration. Well, if that happens in the natural family, and you think about somebody says, well, how in the world could that happen? How could you have church in a house, for example?
Right.
That's how could you run this thing out of a house? And it's like, don't they run America from a house? Isn't it ran from a house? It's the White House,
right? That's right.
The whole concept of America was the power is under God, one nation under God. He gives us our rights, and we go off to our houses and begin to fellowship, and it functions.
Yeah, and this traditional structure, this expression, provides itself a little bit more challenging to carry out the one another's.
Right.
Because the one another's are in the scriptures can be carried out through relationship, through koinonia, through one-on-one intimacies in a smaller, tight-knit settings. It makes it quite difficult when you're meeting in groups of 100 and 300 to carry out those one another's.
This reality, John, is so far gone, that's why we need Reformation, that the people who need family, and we all need family, are literally being used to kill family, destroy family, abort the children, reject the parents, reject the husband, reject the wife, divorce and mayhem. It's like maybe the world has gone that way because the church has gone that way. And that we're designed that every joint supplies in regards to you got something, I got something, we come together. When we come to corporately together like that, you know, it just, we see that on so many times. It's hard to explain if you've never done it. And if you haven't yet signed up for a Vine seminar, I encourage you to sign up for a Vine seminar because we actually show you what it actually looks like.
Right.
Because it is very important what happens, how it happens. No matter where the church is meeting, it's church in that building, church in that house. It's the same expectations from God, the same word of God, same fear of God, same Holy Spirit, everything. So it's important. You just don't go just do it unless God's telling you to do it. But you think about this, that I think about promise keepers.
Yeah.
You know, because small is a new big. You know, promise keepers had over a million of us on the White House mall area
there.
And about 20 years ago, this
1997.
John, a million. I mean, that's bigger mega than any mega in America, right?
No doubt.
They think about, you know, different folks that have what's called the biggest mega church, although India has one, I think, bigger than that now. But so we had, how did a million men now
all show up?
They all have, you know, probably a wife and family and children. So you're looking at that, they represented, you know, 3 or 4 million folks, if not more. And so, but it didn't start there. It started with stadiums. And like the Super Bowl, the Superdome in New Orleans, you know, we got together in the Superdome in New Orleans and different other events, and we gathered together there. We sang songs, and it was a powerful time.
Yeah.
Understanding, you know, what God's doing. But you know what, John? It didn't even start there. It didn't start in the stadiums. It actually began in the community, where men from all over the community got together for a Promise Keepers event, for example, and they worship God, and that's pretty awesome. But you know, it didn't even start there.
No.
It started with one man and a couple other men who wanted to walk out what God's word says.
That's right.
And they began to meet together on a regular basis, pray, honor God, honor their pastor, you know, pray and minister to each other. And that ended up filling up stadiums around the nations. It filled up Washington Mall. And so I know that everybody thinks it's got to be big to be something, but really it has to be small for it to be anything.
That's right.
Because you got to have that intimate fellowship. The reason why people lay down their life in the military is not for the greater vision of what's going on for the country. They laid their life down for their brother.
The band of brothers,
The
right?
band of brothers. That you've met him and he's met you, or you met her, and you're fighting this war together, and you're just not going to leave your brother behind.
Yeah.
Well, how many people, John, you know, are involved in you know, a church family today that they don't even know the person next to them.
No.
And definitely you wouldn't die for that person.
Yeah. And one of the theses that Wolfgang talks about, which we'll be getting to, is that the worship experience service doesn't even provide for that. You know,
right.
Everything's so structured and it has to be at a certain time.
Right.
It's at a certain time. It's really difficult to have that type of intimacy, to care for one another and be able to walk this new Christian lifestyle that God, you know, wants us to walk into. We're designed, we're better together, but we can only do that when we have time for intimacy, koinonia, fellowship, and really getting to know each other in the Lord.
And so powerful, it's good. It's so powerful to understand, really get the revelation that small is the new big. Why do we have 300 and something million folks in America, right? But they're not all in your house. They're not all in your community. They're all over the place. But you know what holds them together and what the enemy's been trying to destroy at the last moment? Family. Yeah. They're connected to somebody. Why do young people end up wrongly joining a gang? Because they offered them family. We'll protect you. You can be part of us. Well, where's the church saying? Just show up, be a stranger. You know, we don't have time for that. I don't want to share my personal stuff. And it's like, we got to begin to be the family God's called us to be. And people will be jealous of what that is. When we begin to become the family, it's just an amazing reward to do that. And like I said, if you don't know how to do that, and we didn't know how to do that until God revealed that to us, you need to sign up for a Vine seminar. Because in that seminar, you'll actually see how it takes place. And it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but it's also not as unholy as some others have tried to do it. It's not in the way that God would want you to do it.
So there's hope.
There's definitely hope.
There's hope.
I mean, God is truly over his church. When we get back from this break, we're going to pick up on the sixth of the 15 thesis statement from Wolfgang. These are powerful, aren't they? Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. In his book, The Matheny Manifesto, Mike Matheny, highly successful manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, writes specifically to young men who want to play Major League Baseball. He wants them to know that biblical values serve as a moral compass.
I believe that it is our responsibility to jump into life and figure out a way to look for opportunities to share what's most important to you. When those opportunities present themselves, to hopefully be able to direct them to God's Word.
The Bible's influence cannot be overlooked, taken for granted. It has impacted education, the arts, science, government, and more. Engage with the Bible. Acknowledge and celebrate its impact and influence in every area of our daily life.
Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We have people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are reading over 15 theses written by Wolfgang Simpson in his book, Houses That Changed the World. And we're on number six. If you haven't heard the beginning of this, you got to hear it all. As a matter of fact, John, what is this sixth? And what do you say, you know, the way that we're doing church is preventing God from having church the way he wants it?
The way he wants it. That's exactly right.
Okay.
The way we're doing church today is preventing
church
the way God wants it to be. So we really need to pay attention.
Wow, yeah, we want to. That's what we're
getting. So number six out of the 15 thesis from Wolfgang Simpson. This is number six.
And these are 15 things he's saying that he feels are supposed to shift. God wants them to change. Okay.
For reformation, right?
Right.
No church is led by a pastor alone. The local church is not led by a pastor, but fathered by an elder, a local person of wisdom and reality. The local house churches are then networked into a movement by the combination of elders and members of the so-called fivefold ministries, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, circulating from house to house, whereby there is a special foundational role to play for the apostolic and prophetic ministries. A pastor, shepherd, is very necessary part of the whole team, but he cannot fulfill more than a part of the whole task of equipping the saints for ministry, and has to be complemented synergistically by the other four ministries in order to function properly. If you look at today's statistics, and the ministers
for pastors,
they are under such amount of stress. They need to wear so many different hats today. They got to be a counselor. They have to be, you know, an amazing, you know, preacher and teacher. And they have, you know, they're going to be available for hospital visits and praying for the sick and visiting the elderly. They're so overworked. And from an insurance perspective, I used to be in the insurance industry. And from an insurance perspective, they are a high risk for insurance. And so we want to encourage you as a pastor, you're not meant to carry all of that alone. You right. need a team. You need other giftings to come alongside of you to help you equip the church.
You know, you're not called to do this thing alone. As a matter of fact, the first thing that God said, it's not good for men to be alone. That's not just about marriage. Read Ephesians chapter 6. He's talking this for all of us to be unified in Him. And he gave the five gifts, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to train the body of Christ, of the family up, to function in their role, and then every joint supplies. So it's like the fivefold ministry is there to empower you.
That's right.
To function. You have something to do. This is not, you don't go and watch church. You are the church. You got to be church, you know?
So the fivefold doesn't do it all, right?
No, actually they train the body up to be functioning in the role of the church, the family. And so, you know, we want to know what that looks like. And so it's very important to understand that as we were saying earlier, that pastors are under this great pressure. And in America, and listen, it doesn't matter what you do in ministry in America, they call you a pastor. It doesn't matter. It's like, you're a pastor.
You're a pastor.
And don't let people project on you what God's called you to do, but don't get offended by it either. Just function in the role of God, because it's about a function, not about a title. And pastors aren't meant to carry this huge load. And many people that are called pastors are really apostles. They have a bigger gift to be able to manage quite a few people. But under them, they have pastors that handle smaller groups. But really, what Wolfgang Simpson's saying, what we've seen from our experience, really, a pastor has an anointing for a very few small group of folks. If you're going to love on them, if you're going to be with them, if you're going to marry them, if you're going to bury them, if you're going to live your life along with the sheep the way a shepherd does. And he's talking about what happens is then they begin to organize with other church families that are in the community under a larger apostolic covering. And that's one thing with Vine Fellowship Network, the VFM Dream Center, is an apostolic hub. That's the whole purpose of what God called us to do, because it's not good to be alone. We saw,
that's right,
as we were learning and growing, we saw people that had that call and they wanted to be able to move in that call, but they needed support. They needed, you know, air support. They needed somebody that was going to help them and train them, because they had the gift of a pastor, for example, but they weren't an apostle, they weren't a prophet, they weren't, you know, a teacher. And so there's so many things that God gives us wisdom to be able to do that. It's so powerful to be able to have family and to function in families. We talked about the earlier thesis that he talked about, but you can't do that without the fullness of God and the Spirit of God. And, you know, I gave a analogy just recently in the church about the gifts of the Spirit. And I can't really go in details. We'll make that available to you. But understand, when all the gifts begin to move, you know, it's the church comes alive. And it happens in the context of family, not in the context of some organization, for example, but organism. And the church is a body. He says, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do to me. Mm-hmm. He's talking about us, the people. That Christ came and dwelled inside of us. And so we are the temple of God. We are the building of God. We are God's workmanship that's being put together into a royal priesthood, being built into a spiritual temple that God indwells. It's so powerful. And so one way that God showed us to be able to do that, and maybe be different for you, is through Vine Fellowship Network. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. And the apostolic hub, that one aspect he's talking about the gathering of all the churches coming together, we call that the VFN Dream Center. And call it the Dream Center because God spoke prophetically in a dream.
In a dream.
That this is what it would be. And so I want to encourage you, as we're going over these, we're not going to have time to cover all of them on this program, and we are going to cover them all. We're going to pick up at our next program, the actual thesis, the next number, which I think is 6, I think we're going to go over, or seven,
seven.
The seventh of the 15 theses. But I want to tell you this right now. If that's God calling you, said, you know, I'm ready to be the church instead of just going to it. I want to encourage you to begin where you are. Begin to talk to people right there in your fellowship and your family and say, listen, we got to be activated. God's called us to do something. You know, talk with the spiritual authority there that's in your church and say, what do you think about this? How can we be the church? This is what God says in His Word. And we don't want to stop the church the way God wants it to be. We need to actually, you know, function in that.
That's right.
And see how things go. And if it's not bearing a witness with that particular family, bless them. Don't say anything negative about that family. Realize we got to love the church. It's all of us. It's the church. But then maybe God's calling you to begin that. And we probably help you with a Vine seminar. You can go to vineseminars.org or to vfnkb.org and find out more details. But it's just not good to be alone in the context of that. You really can't do it alone. I'm going to pray for you right now. Don't forget, we're going to continue this on our next program. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for Wolfgang writing this book and laying this thesis out that causes us to think about where we are and what we're doing and how we're doing it. God, we want to do it the way you want us to do it, that you're in the middle of it, ruling as King, as Lord, and the fullness of your Spirit functioning in your church. God, I pray for each and every one that's feeling that call on their heart, that you would just stir their heart, give them wisdom, lead them by your Spirit, Father God, and always as a love and honor in your church and your body and what you're doing on the earth, God. We just call them into what you have for them in Jesus' name. God bless. And don't forget, next program, we're going to continue up and pick up on the seventh of the 15 theses of Wolfgang Simpson. This is very stimulating, isn't it?
Very much so.
God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
You need to know in whom you believe. You need to know God. It's not enough to know about Him, to know of Him, but you have to walk with Jesus. You have to have an intimate relationship, because we're entering a season that's going to be some of the worst of times, but at the same time is going to be some of the best of times. And you're going to need to know God. You're not going to be able to, as maybe you've heard said, play church, if you will, as if you could. You're going to need to know Him. And so we want to encourage you, now is the best day. Today is the day of salvation. And we want to encourage you that if you are a believer, begin an abiding relationship with the Lord. What is that? That's when you spend time with God, you read His Word, and you allow His Word to penetrate your heart. And when it does that, it transforms your life. You walk together with God. You walk united with Him. We have a simple plan for you, and you can get it. It doesn't cost you a thing at iabide.org. Go there today. Go there today and sign up for this free plan, and it's kind of a roadmap to help you on a day-to-day basis begin to start setting, you know, that time with God as a priority. And as you do that, it's amazing what God will reveal to you, what He will show you. I mean, children are abiding. And that God's saying some of the most amazing things to them, and they're writing it down. So you just don't want to miss it.